Everybody, this is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, and lots to talk about. I was tied up the last couple of weeks, but here live tonight, and I'll fill you in on the latest from the city of Alexandria, which saw fit to arrest me about a month ago, on March 17th, while I was interviewing a confidential source. I have more information on that and what appears to be a politically inspired hit on myself and the source. Once again, the cops are basically act as centurions for big business, for the power elite. Cops are less and less involved in law enforcement. As a matter of fact, when's the last time you actually needed a police officer? How long did you have to wait for one until one showed up? But they're usually around where you don't need them. They're busting heads at constitutionally protected demonstrations. And this, of course, what happened in Alexandria on March 17th was a vicious assault on the freedom of the press, the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, and I'll have more to say about Alexandria, which was the town that hosted many of our founding fathers, and of course they were all supported by strong women. George Washington lived in Alexandria, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, and many other founders of this country hammered out both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution at places like Gatsby's Tavern in Alexandria. This very scene where my rights and the rights of my source were so violated by they call it the thin blue line. These are thugs. These police officers who do this kind of thing don't deserve any respect. Actually, they should be rounded up and put in re-education camps, and they ought to be read the Constitution. Then they should be made to recite it before they're allowed back out. And those who think it's funny should never wear a uniform ever again. That's what I would do to these clowns. But I'm not the governor of Virginia. Nor do I have any desire to be the governor of Virginia. But I'll talk about that and some other interesting aspects of the politics involved in Alexandria a little bit later. Also, want to talk about some other issues. President Obama at the Summit of the Americas in Trinidad in the Caribbean had an encounter with Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, and it's being, of course, misreported by the corporate-owned, right-wing corporate-owned media here in the nation's capital and out of New York, where all the gatekeepers exist and thrive. Washington and New York, and to some extent Los Angeles with their connections to Hollywood, these are the people that determine what you hear on the air and in the movies and in most other media. And that's the reason for shows like this, to bypass those controllers, those gatekeepers, and let you know what's really going on. Now, there's certain people in Alexandria that tried to prevent that, at least for a couple of hours, but I'm very confident that they will be exposed, and the city of Alexandria will never again be able to claim the mantle of the foundation of democracy. Anyway, we will be right back after this short break.
The is Cascadia Public Radio.
Hey, welcome back. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report, the Saturday Roundup coming in live tonight from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and the toll-free number, if you'd like to call into the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443 here at Republic Broadcasting Network. Some other things going on. I mentioned President Obama is in Trinidad. He had an encounter with Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Remember, Chavez called George Bush the devil a few years ago when he addressed the United Nations. They had a very amiable meeting. It was handshakes, smiles. Today, at a meeting between Obama and the leaders of the South American nations, that doesn't include Central America and the Caribbean nations, Chavez got up and walked over and gave Obama a book about how the written in 1971. This is not written by Chavez. You would think that the media, the way the media is reporting it, it was some arcane book, which has now shot up to number 14 on Amazon sales. It was written in 1971. It's in Spanish, but I'm sure President Obama can get the CIA and the or the NSA translators to translate him a copy. But it's how, over the years, many years, the U.S. has pillaged Latin America economically. Well, that's not news. The way the media is playing this up is like this was some sort of a diplomatic breach. Chavez was grandstanding. I defy ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News doesn't count. They're not a news organization. They're a propaganda channel. MSNBC or the illustrious PBS, I challenge them to disprove to me that the United States has not pillaged Latin America over the years, and what this, all this, gnashing of teeth and pulling of hair. Oh, Chavez gave Bush, gave Obama a book about the pillaging of Latin America. If you don't want to read that book in Spanish, go back and read what General Smedley Butler said about what he was doing in Latin America on behalf of the United Fruit Company and the other Wall Street boys. He said they were basically just foot soldiers for corporate America. That is not news to anyone. And the way these corporate media people are going on about this book like it's some obscure notion. You'd think Obama was given a book about UFOs in Area 51 the way they're carrying on. But these creeps in the media who allowed our nation to be bankrupted by these clowns on Wall Street, these crooks, these criminals, now, of course, now they're all of a sudden Latin American policy and Latin American historians. Policy experts and historians. It's just incredible. These talking heads on TV don't have enough of an IQ to talk themselves out of a wet paper bag. And you see who they are. They're the guys with the caps on their teeth and the hairdos and the women with their, low-cut dresses and batting their eyelashes. These people don't have any IQs. They're total morons and entertainers. They have about as much sense as Britney Spears. Maybe she has more sense than some of them even. But anyway, that's what's going on. Now, that's Obama in Trinidad. Now we have former President Bush on his first overseas trip. Of course, he went to Canada. He was in China, of all places. He was on Hainan Island. This was where the U.S. plane was brought down right after Bush became president some years ago in 2001. Bush is on Hainan Island at a conference. And so what is Bush talking to these various leaders and powerhouses? He said, after he left the White House and moved into his new home in Dallas, he decided to take Barney for a walk. To be a good neighbor, he said he carried a plastic bag so he could clean up his dog's droppings. And then He said, I was picking up what I had been dodging for 8 years. Now, that's interesting. Did anyone, like the shoe bomber, were they the poo bomber? The shoe thrower, were they the poo throwers? What's he talking about? But only a guy with an infantile brain like George Bush would bring up picking up his dog's crap in Dallas to a bunch of leaders over in Asia. This guy is a complete and utter embarrassment to this country. I must say, at least Obama carries himself much better in places like Trinidad and on European trips. When Bush addressed Summit of the Americas some years ago, he basically faced a walkout by the Latin American leaders. That's how little they thought of him. Now these leaders in Latin America couldn't wait to have their pictures taken with Obama. Although one clown, somebody from probably George Soros funded think tank, said that Obama is more popular in Venezuela than Chavez is. Well, I'm sorry, but Chavez has won several referenda. He's winning elections, and the notion that he's less popular in Venezuela amongst the poor who he's been giving jobs to and at least some hope, as opposed to the past dictators, U.S.-supported dictators in that country, is just an outrage. Of course, when you find these think tankers and these clowns, you always know that they're probably taking Soros money. If it's not Soros money, it's David Rockefeller money or it's Ford Foundation money. But it's tainted. It's that money stinks. There's all kinds of strings attached to it. So I wish these news media organizations would actually run a crawler saying, the guy you're listening to, the expert we found, is working for a certain think tank, and he's paid by this individual, a George Soros, a David Rockefeller. You know, let us know who they work for. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. You know, who are these people working for? Who's paying them? And then you'll know why they say the idiotic things they say, the disruptive things they say, the incorrect things they say, the flat-out lies that they say. Again, if you'd like to call the program tonight, the number is 800-313-9443. Now, there was also another interesting revelation recently. And it had to do with an engineer, a professor in Denmark, Niels Harrit, who is not some sort of out there person, but he's done a study of the debris from the World Trade Center after 9/11, and concluded that what was found was something called nanothermite, which means that the World Trade Center did not collapse from being struck by the aircraft, but by being demolished in a, I would suggest, very controlled demolition. These buildings fell within basically their own footprint, and this is what this Danish professor is saying. We've heard it before. Obviously, this Danish professor, I don't care. He could have the Nobel Prize in physics and the what element will attack him, that same element that denies association with the whole idea that the 9/11 Commission report is set in cement. That's what happened, and it's not what happened. We all know what happened that day. This, as I have gone on the record. I've said that this was a well-planned, highly compartmented coup d'etat, and the idiot Bush may not have actually known about it, but certainly people like Cheney knew about it, Rumsfeld knew, it doesn't take that many people really at the top. But anyway, let's before the break, I want you to listen to this a professor. It's not his voice. It's the Danish newscaster. This is Danish news. This is not some internet site. This is Denmark TV news. reporting on what this Danish professor had to say about the World Trade Center. And Danish was the language of my father. I don't speak it, but I do understand it, and I'll try to translate as best as I can after you listen to this clip. You'll hear some English words as well.
Internationale forskere har fundet spor af sprængstoffer i ruinerne af World Trade Center i en ny videnskabelig artikel, for det forskerne til at konkludere, at det formentlig ikke var sammenstødende med de to kaprede fly, der i 2001 fik World Trade-tårnene til at kollapse. Så vender vi blikket imod 9/11, det store angreb i New York. Det var nemlig formentlig ikke sammenstødet med de to kaprede fly, der i 2001 fik de to tvillingetårne til at kollapse. Det konkluderer i hvert fald en netop offentliggjort videnskabelig artikel. Internationale forskere har gjort fund af sprængstoffet nanothermit i ruinerne.
Okay, well there you heard it. There you heard it. Nanothermite, he said in Danish. He said that they found the traces of this explosive in the rubble of the Trade Center. This was, again, on national Danish TV news. Where did you hear about this on any of our networks? You did not hear it. You will not hear it because it goes against what we were told. And we all know who controls the media in this country, the same people who allowed our treasury to be looted, who allowed Wall Street to collapse. We know it's the power elite. We know it's the oligarchs. And they will not let you hear that truth, but if you were in Denmark, you would have heard about it. This is Wayne Madsen. We will be right back after this break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report, Saturday Roundup. Coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. I also want to mention another thing before we go to the phones. And since I'm mentioning the phones, let me give you the toll-free number if you'd like to call in tonight. It's 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. It's always considered not in good journalistic form for a journalist to become part of his or her own story. Unfortunately, that was the case with what happened in Alexandria, and of course I have been trying to investigate what happened that evening. I found out that for 2.5 hours I was held in the Alexandria jail without any charges being brought. Later they decided, well, let's get him for drunk in public. It was, after all, St. Patrick's night, but it seems like they were really clutching at trying to get something. But for 2.5 hours I was held without being charged, and the Alexandria police had in their possession, had confiscated my reporter's notebook. And this is what I reported. In that notebook was the notes I had from the source for that evening that had to do with the Stanford Financial Group collapse, and it included information on the CIA using Stanford's banks in Latin America and the Caribbean to launder drug money. Not new, but continues something the CIA has been doing, Cocaine Import Agency has been doing for a number of years. Also contained in a notebook information about the nukes that was flown in August 07 from Minot Air Force Base, Louisiana. I covered that extensively. There were notes from the attorney of the late D.C. Madam Deborah Jean Palfrey, who supposedly committed suicide last May 1st. I doubt that's very much. That's not that she's dead. She is, but she didn't commit suicide. And also I had some personal information actually about a person that I've spoken to over the years who was a close aide to the late President John F. Kennedy. Very old man, not that old, you know, you're as old as you feel, young as you feel, whatever the case may be. But that's what they had for 2.5 hours. And the Alexandria Police Department is now going to have to prove to me that they did not copy the information in that notebook, since they held me for 2.5 hours between 9:20 and midnight without any charges being brought. Yes, there's much more to that story, which I will be writing about in the next few weeks. Let's go to the phones. We have Debbie calling in. Debbie, are you with us?
I'm with you. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I hope that all the listeners will go to your website and donate money to your legal defense fund.
Well, thank you.
But also, I wanted to talk to you. I read an article that Department of Homeland Security gave a contract to SAIC for $104 million over the next 5 years to train our FEMA emergency responders. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, anytime I hear SAIC, I'm always a bit cautious. Of course, what is SAIC spelled backwards but CIAS? But at SAIC, it's very tight with the CIA. The fact is that they're involved with this FEMA nonsense. FEMA is not known for being open about anything they do. You know, we have these FEMA camps around the country. We have Alcee Hastings, who's an impeached former federal judge, who's now a congressman from the Miami area, putting through a bill to basically extend and support these FEMA centers. He says it's for natural disasters. I don't trust Alcee Hastings as far as I can throw this guy. Alcee Hastings.
Yeah, if you have a disaster there, why does there have to be a center, you know, a zillion miles away?
In the middle of the country. If you're concerned about having to evacuate the Miami area in case of a hurricane, what are you doing creating these FEMA camps in, you know, South Dakota, for example? It defies logic. When it comes to this type of thing, you know, the powers that be can find some dupe Democrats, just like they, for the last 8 years, they found some dupe Republicans. They can always find somebody to carry their water. I actually think FEMA and Homeland Security, these agencies should be abolished. We ought to go back to where we were in the 50s under President Eisenhower, and in the 60s. We should just have civil defense. That should be it. Civil defense. Civil defense handles it all. Civil defense handles, you know, terrorist issues, hurricanes, and then civil defense, they're the ones who contact the National Guard, but you don't create these huge super bureaucracies like FEMA and Homeland Security that answer to absolutely no one. Civil defense worked during the Cold War when, you know, the worst case scenario was the Soviet Union was going to launch an all-out nuclear attack on this country. So if civil defense worked so well then, why did we get rid of it to handle things like a hurricane or some tornadoes or every time the Mississippi River floods? I just don't understand. Well, I guess we've lost Debbie. But anyway, thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thanks, Debbie. Okay.
Bye.
All right. Appreciate it. We have a break right now, and we will be right back. This is Wayne Madison right after this short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
All right, welcome back. This is Wayne Madison with the Wayne Madison Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. We had some other news this past week. President Obama said, first, it was on and off. He was saying he was going to release these Bush-era Justice Department memos on torture. He did finally release them, but they were redacted. The classified code word used by the CIA for this program was redacted. Hopefully somebody will leak that, just like former Justice Department prosecutor Thomas Tam, released the name of the illegal NSA wiretapping program. That code word was Stellar Wind. There is something like it on these torture documents. Hopefully somebody from the intelligence community who has seen this word will leak it so we can refer to the program by what the torturers called it to put it in proper context. It has a code word. It was redacted by the White House and the Justice Department, but I am very confident that somebody will leak the code word. So if you're listening, leak the code word. It's the Stellar Wind of torture, as Stellar Wind was for the illegal wiretapping of U.S. citizens. And now we know that was much more widespread. Even the FBI is now supposedly investigating. If the FBI is investigating it, it was 100 times worse than anything we may have suspected was going on with the NSA listening on illegally on the conversations and emails of U.S. citizens and residents of this country. So Obama did not release at all. He said he's not going to prosecute any of the torturers. That's a very sad thing. So the U.S. pushed against the Nuremberg defense, where the people in Nuremberg said we were just following orders. Now basically Obama's subscribing to the Nuremberg defense. It didn't work at Nuremberg. Why is it working now? That's a question that should be posed to the president. The other thing that's happened this past week is there's been some movement in the murder of a one-time CIA employee, retired Army Lieutenant Colonel William Bennett, who on March 22nd was bludgeoned to death. His wife was also beaten severely. She, fortunately, is improving from her previous condition of critical, where she wasn't able to speak. She is now apparently speaking to the police. This happened in Lansdowne, which is in Loudoun County, Virginia. I can report, as I already reported, and it's being now verified by other sources, Colonel Bennett was investigating the illegal transfer theft of technology on the Patriot missile system by a hostile intelligence agency from the United States to this other country, this hostile intelligence country, and that hostile intelligence country in turn was selling the technology from the Patriot missile system to Russia and China, which both used it in their own development of their own systems, anti-missile systems. Russia, the S-300 radar system, which is used with its anti-missile system, and China for its own systems. It is very clear that the people who killed Colonel Bennett were agents for that hostile intelligence service, riding around in a white, reportedly a Ryder rental van, white with Florida tags. Anyone who's read what I have written about the Israeli art students and movers prior to 9/11, they know the hostile intelligence service to which I am referring. Yes, it's Mossad. It's the Israeli intelligence service. I have some more information that I gained from sources in the intelligence community and in federal law enforcement. The heavyset man who was seen by neighbors in the vicinity of where the Colonel Bennett and his wife were found in Lansdowne. He's a heavyset man. He's known to the FBI. His code name is Stinky. He's heavyset. He wears black leather jackets and a lot of jewelry. He's very overweight. He eats a lot. He eats like a pig, hence I guess why he's called Stinky. But I can just picture a very obese Israeli. It's just, you know, a hideous thought, actually. But anyway, apparently Stinky was, when maybe he was weighed a lot less, back in 1990, was, according to sources who contacted me, he was part of the Mossad hit team that took out Gerald Bull, the Canadian engineer, who was, among other things, he worked for the U.S., he had worked for the Israelis, but at the very last thing he did, he was building a super gun for Saddam Hussein. Mossad assassinated Gerald Bull at his apartment in Brussels. The date of that assassination was March 22nd, 1990. Colonel Bennett's killing was on March 22nd, 2009. 19 years to the day that Gerald Bull was taken out by an Israeli Mossad hit team. Why is that of significance? Because in the Middle East, dates are very significant. And if you want to send a message, but to back off, you'll watch the date. The date that's picked by these people to hit their target. And I'm sure the FBI, they have calendars. They know when March 22nd was. They know what happened in March 22nd in 1990. They probably were involved in investigating that case. They certainly know what happened on March 22nd, 2009, because the FBI is supposedly helping the Loudoun County Sheriff's Department investigate the case. By the way, just last night at 11:05, Eastern Daylight Time, police in Leesburg, Virginia, which is in Loudoun County, pulled over a white van with Florida tags and arrested all the occupants and towed the van away. So people who say the van had nothing to do with Colonel Bennett's murder, guess again. Don't try to run that jive by me, because I've been around this kind of stuff too long and investigated too many of these cases to be put off by the gatekeepers, the naysayers, and the disinformation artists, many of whom are found in our media. I do want to play this short clip of how the local NBC station covered the Colonel Bennett murder. This is Pat Collins, who really covers, he covers a lot of these stories, these murders. But let's listen to what Pat Collins has to say about the Bennett murder.
I just thought, you know, it was a little bit more than the normal person who liked to keep to themselves. You know, he just really, really liked to keep to himself.
According to a neighbor, William Bennett, an ex-contract worker for the CIA, led a reclusive lifestyle, staying pretty much inside his home in this Potomac Station neighborhood. He would exercise every day, but only when it was dark outside.
He was always out every day. He went out, but he would only he would always make sure he was home before the sun came up.
Miss Goddard says she never saw Bennett leave his house here in the daytime, except to run out in his shorts to get the mail, and then she said he'd run right back into the garage. Miss Goddard says the Bennetts would have food delivered once a week, laundry picked up and delivered once a day.
Every day there'd be a bag on the door and a new pickup.
Did you ever see him leave the house in the daylight?
No.
What were you, is that odd?
I just thought he liked to keep to himself. He was very reclusive. We had difficulty getting him to say hello.
William Bennett, his wife Cynthia, found beaten in the dark hours of the morning Sunday along the Lansdowne jogging trail. He was murdered. She was critically wounded. So where did the attack actually happen? Investigators trying to determine if it happened right here on the trail or someplace else, with the suspects then later putting the Bennett's bodies along the trail. Police identified Mr. Bennett from fingerprints. They say he has a license to carry a concealed weapon in Virginia. Investigators say they're looking for three suspects who were seen driving around suspiciously in a white panel van.
All right. Well, there you have it. That neighbor, I, you know, first of all, let's get something straight. William Bennett and his wife were not reclusive. Every morning they walked to the Harris Teeter supermarket at the Lansdowne Downtown Center, went in for coffee. I spoke to the person who worked in the coffee shop inside the supermarket. She said they were friendly, would say talk to them. Talk to the person at the coffee counter. They even knew that Bennis had a daughter. So this idea that they didn't talk to anyone, they didn't say hello, is just pure poppycock. That's not the case. Somebody was trying to make it sound like Bennett was somehow there was something wrong with Bennett. If Colonel Bennett had fingered the damn Israelis as stealing sensitive U.S. technology, of course he had just put in for a concealed carry permit. He didn't have that very long. He had just applied for one. The man was obviously been told to he adopted the profile of somebody in a federal witness protection program. And obviously there were people in the CIA who must have told him, look, you know, you could be targeted. You've got the information on a major Israeli theft of U.S. technology. You've engineered that or reverse engineered. You know where how the Israelis did this. You have to protect yourself. So of course he's not going to be going to a supermarket during the day, and he's not going to be hanging around his mailbox. I mean, a guy might have had short pants on. The way his neighbor put it, you thought the guy was leaving his garage in his underpants. I doubt that. A guy who was a lieutenant colonel in the Army and who was a CIA employee and was still working for the CIA in some capacity when he was murdered isn't going to be running out in his underpants. But this is the media. This is NBC's affiliate in Washington. These people do not do news. They do propagandizing. And I'd like to know who told NBC, the local Channel 4, to make it sound like Colonel Bennett was some sort of oddball, because everything else I've heard about the colonel is that he was very much a professional. He was very serious at what he did. He apparently at one time worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency. He worked for DIA. The mere idea that he was some sort of recluse who was having his food delivered and his laundry sent out and had done. Well, of course, here's a guy who had just put in for a concealed weapons permit. Here's somebody that had every reason to fear for his life. Apparently was done in by Stinky and his gang. And the people that should be fearful, why didn't Channel 4 go for the Israeli angle? I'll tell you why, because the people that own NBC aren't going to allow it. The people that are sitting up there in a boardroom at General Electric, the parent company, aren't going to allow it. And that's why you won't hear any. The I word will never be mentioned with this case. Colonel Bennett will be long gone before you ever hear anyone mention the I word. But you heard it from me first. You heard it from me first. I was the first person to report the Israeli angle on this murder. I'm sticking by that story, and my story is now being verified even as I speak to you tonight. There's meetings taking place where this is being discussed. But will the Israeli murderers ever be brought to justice? Well, were the Israelis involved in 9/11 ever brought to justice? No, because they used the get out of jail free card, and are allowed to skedaddle back to Israel. We've seen that happen so many times. I want to impress on people the most hostile intelligence nation in the world against the United States right now is Israel, especially with the current government of a foreign minister who's a Russian Moldovan Israeli mafiosi, a former nightclub bouncer who was associated with Rabbi Meir Kahane's Koch party, which advocated exterminating the Arabs to the last man, woman, and children. This is what you've got in there as the foreign minister of Israel, and Benjamin Netanyahu, who had an orgasm when the World Trade Center collapsed on 9/11. He had a verbal orgasm on the air. You can go back and check it out. The man was so excited about what happened. I'm surprised he didn't pass out. This is what you've got running Israel today. The Israeli intelligence service and their extended intelligence assets are the most serious threat to the U.S. national security in the world today. Not North Korea, not Iran, not China, not Russia, not any of these countries. Take my word for it. This comes from people who are not allowed to tell you this, who work in the FBI, who work in the CIA, who work in the Defense Intelligence Agency, who work for the National Security Agency. They'd love to tell you this, but they can't because of politics and because the Amen Choir, the Amen Chorus here in Washington, D.C., the APACs and the Anti-Defamation Leagues and all the other deep-pocketed frauds that only exist because they prey on people's emotions, will not allow these federal investigators and intelligence officials and military officials to tell you the truth about the threat that the Israeli intelligence service poses to this country. It's a sad thing, but it's the fact of life. Can anything be done? Well, we haven't been able to do anything for many, many years on this, but when they kill a retired colonel who was working for the CIA in a upscale part of Northern Virginia, I'm telling you, you are not safe in your neighborhood. I don't care where you live, whether it's from the likes of Stinky or Israeli art students or Israeli movers or the people that sell these stupid toys at these kiosks and Dead Sea salt shampoos and body lotions at these mall kiosks. We know who these people are working for. They need to be arrested. They need to be taken into custody, and they need to go on trial if they can be pinned with espionage, and if not, they need to be deported and never allowed back in the United States, ever, 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 ever. No visas. They ought to go on a master list. If they try to go to the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv and get a visa here, and their name's on that list, and all their aliases, with all their aliases, it should be absolutely no. You're not allowed in this country. Student visa, education visa, tourist visa, professional visa, work visa, it doesn't matter. You can't come here. And that includes all the students that go to Yeshiva University. They are included. They're all potential suspects as far as I'm concerned. We've seen too much from these espionage agents. Anyway, we will be right back after this break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with Wayne Mattson Report to say Roundup. I mentioned a little bit about what had happened with my arrest by the Alexandria police on March 17th. It's just amazing. Alexandria was one of the largest towns in colonial America, Revolutionary War America. It's where George Washington lived. Was where Henry Lightfoot Lee spent a lot of time, at this ancestor of Robert E. Lee. It was where Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Thomas Paine would often gather, Benjamin Franklin at Gadsby's Tavern in Alexandria to hash over things that eventually resulted in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States and the First Amendment, the freedom of the press, which the Alexandria thuggish Gestapo decided to trample all over and use as toilet paper. Let's listen to this short clip. This is from the movie Adams, where you'll hear Adams, Franklin, Washington, Henry Lightfoot Lee, and Jefferson in conversation, if you can play this short clip.
Diplomacy is seduction in another guise, Mr. Adams. One improves with practice.
Mr. Harrison, Mr. Lee.
Good morning to you. Mr. Lee, you are said to be Cicero of Virginia.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. We are arming ourselves for our own defense. Beyond that, the Virginia Convention has given us no instructions. It was up to myself, Colonel Washington.
Oh, yes, indeed. Colonel Washington.
Good morning to you, Colonel.
Mr. Adams.
Colonel, are in mourning.
From Massachusetts, Mr. Adams. An attack made on one of our sister colonies is an attack made on all of us.
If only all of the Congress were of your sentiments, sir.
I am prepared to raise 1,000 men, subsist them at my own expense, and march them myself to the relief of Boston.
Well, we may yet have need of your generosity.
Not generosity, Mr. Adams. Duty.
Well, there you have the conversation. I like those founders and prepared against the advice of my attorney in Alexandria. I am prepared to do exactly what he told me not to. Do not turn your hearing on May 20th into a political grandstanding. I will do exactly what General Washington, what Thomas Jefferson, what Thomas Paine, what Benjamin Franklin, what John Adams, what Henry Lightfoot Lee, what James Mason, what Thomas Paine would have done. I will turn that court hearing into a political show, as my attorney called it. He advised me not to. It's not a political show. If I don't stand up for the First Amendment, no one will, and that's what I'm prepared to do. That's it for this week. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report. The Saturday Roundup will be back with you this time next week as we sign off with the theme to the Virginian.